Thinking it would have been fun to have lived back in the days of Elijah or Elisha. Been living in the days of King David. To have heard Paul preach, Peter preach, been on the day of Pentecost. To be honest with you, I'm glad I'm living today. See, God always saves the best for last. The devil paints a pretty picture up front, but there's death and destruction that follows. God is honest up front, but the latter rain is always greater than the former rain. You keep living for God, it keeps getting better and better and better and better. That's why Jesus said, these works that I do, so you do, and greater works, because I go unto my Father. Jesus has something better in store for us. Even what we read about in here. God has got great things. Exciting. I'm glad I'm a part of Calvary Gospel Church. Board's back there looking at plans for a new building. We're packed out here. I'm glad I'm a part of something that's alive, that's real, that's hopping and popping. No place that I'd rather be. Let me caution us tonight. This is no time to coast. Sometimes people get the mindset that when things are going, we're having a revival, we can just kind of take it easy because we're going. Oh no, if you're going to take it easy when there's problems and nothing's happening because you're not going to mess anything up. This is the time to pedal faster. This is the time to work harder and keep the momentum going. Hallelujah. I can start with a couple of scriptures tonight. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man. Some people talk about duty or works like it's a bad word. Not a bad word. We have a duty. We have a job to do, my friends. Luke chapter 17, verse number 10. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I'm just a slob doing my job. Throw one more at you. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. I want to speak to you tonight for a little while from this title, I Take Responsibility. I Take Responsibility. Now, that's an acronym. We'll figure that out. My goal is by the time I get done here tonight, this will be a message that you will never forget. That you'll be able to say for the rest of your life, I take responsibility. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray right now for the board meeting going on. I pray that you would speak to our leaders, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them direction, oh God. I just thank you, Lord, for great leadership. Lord, bless our leadership. Anoint them and guide them, we pray. Let your hand be upon them tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just anoint us tonight, oh God. Help us to man up, to do our duty, to be faithful in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. January, it's a great time to live in Wisconsin. It's a great time to be a football fan in Wisconsin, isn't it? Nothing against all the Bears fans in the house, but This is an exciting time to be a Packer fan. Interesting thing, though, about football, and I love to play football. Football may be the death of me someday. It has been the past. But the interesting thing about football is every person on a team, really any team, every person has a specific job to do. Linemen are not equipped with the same physical gifts as a quarterback. You try and put a defensive lineman playing safety or cornerback, it's not going to work too good. You put a cornerback in as an offensive lineman, that ain't going to work so good. Everybody has a specific gifted place to be. Although some jobs are more noticeable, every job is important. I would dare to say probably every person in this room be able to name me the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. I wonder how many of you could give me the center's name, though. Left offensive guard. How about the tackles? Anybody can name all the offensive line? Show of hands if you know the quarterback's name. How about if you know all the offensive linemen's names? But you see, the quarterback can't do his job if he is sitting or laying on the ground beneath a pile of bears. Doesn't work very good. And it only takes one offensive lineman to miss his assignment. Doesn't matter how good everyone else does, if one offensive lineman misses his assignment, the play's a bust. In fact, the quarterback may be out for the season. If one supposedly anonymous player misses his assignment. See, there's a lot of positions in the church like that that you don't really notice. I've read it's very hard for offensive linemen to get into the Hall of Fame because nobody notices them if they're doing a good job. They only get noticed if they miss their block and the quarterback gets sacked. But every position is important. Tonight, I'm filling a pretty noticeable role in the church. I'm preaching. It's noticeable. But did you know that I'm also the guy responsible for changing the clock at daylight savings time and making sure it gets a fresh battery in it? Which is a very important job also, because if that doesn't get done, that battery goes dead. I may preach all night. So every job is important. Likewise, we are, the body says that we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The body is just like a team. If you ever had a toothache or stubbed your toe, you know how much a supposedly unimportant part of your body can affect the whole being. There is no small part, there is no unimportant part. Some are more noticeable, but every person is important. You don't understand that God doesn't make mistakes? And if God doesn't make mistakes, do you understand that you are here for a reason? That just like Esther, we have all come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We are all here for a reason. We may have different gifts, we may have different callings, but we are all here for a reason. I've been shocked, though, over the years. I've been living for God for over 20 years now, and I remember when I first came into the church, I remember these spiritual giants, these people that had lived for God forever, and they knew so much more than I did. I remember just feeling dumb talking to some of them. Man, I'll never get this. But then I've watched over the years how some of them, not all, but some of them just kind of run out of gas. They're just somewhere along the road, put it in neutral and just begin to coast. I've also watched where new people come in, get the Holy Ghost, start living for God, catch on fire, and never stop. I remember being a youth pastor and just having some of our young people, I mean, revival, catching a youth group and young people on fire. From the best prayer meetings I've been in were just myself and a youth group around the front of the church. And I've watched some of them go on to great ministries, being used of God 20-some years later. It's my prayer tonight that doesn't happen to us, because we're all here for a reason. We do, however, all have a kind of a fatal flaw, if you will. And that is that human nature is to try and get away with as little as possible. Go back to the opening scriptures of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve had sinned. And God comes walking through the garden looking for his friends, wanting to hang out with his buds in the cool of the day. But Adam and Eve were hiding. They heard God come and they hid. They were scared. If they realized that they were naked. And God called out and said, Adam, where are you? Adam replies, well, God, I hid because I was scared because I'm naked. I didn't want you to see me like this. And God says, Adam, did you eat of the tree? And what does Adam do? Well, she made me do it. God turns, looks at Eve, and says, Eve? And Eve says, snake made me do it. Not my fault. That's kind of human nature. To me, it was kind of cool tonight. It might just be part of the plan of God that prayer meeting or the fasting didn't get on the schedule. Because there's something about leadership when they stand, you know what, I made a little mistake here. Own up to it. There are a lot of people that just, we sometimes have a hard time owning up to our mistakes. We would rather look good than be good. Big difference between looking good and being good. So obviously Eve made some bad choices. But had Adam taught her? I mean, God gave the plan to Adam to begin with. Maybe Eve didn't really understand because Adam really hadn't taken the time to teach her. Maybe Adam hadn't manned up, did his job. It's hard to know now looking back, but human natures, we have a tendency to try and get by as easy as possible. You ever see a piece of trash laying in the church parking lot and watch someone, people walk past it without stopping to pick it up? You ever see some hand towels laying on the bathroom floor and how many guys walk past it without stopping to pick it up, put in the trash can because somebody missed? Oh, that's somebody else's job. It's time, my friends, to man up and take responsibility. Have you ever done this thing? You ever fall down, trip, do something really stupid, then jump up and look around, see if anybody saw you? Am I the only one who's ever done that? We don't want to look bad. We want to keep this persona, this vision out there that I'm perfect, that I've got it together. My friends, honesty goes a long way. That's why if I sin, I need to take responsibility for my sin. If I sin, I take responsibility. You've got a choice in this thing, my friends. Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a choice to serve, and we will. It is a matter of our will. I'm taking responsibility for myself. I'm taking responsibility for my wife, my children. We are going to serve the Lord. If there's church, there's never been a conversation in the Thompson house. Well, there's church this morning. Are we going to go? We're going to go? We're gone. It's not a question. And unless we're out of town, there's a few good reasons to miss church. You know, bad case of diarrhea. You know, stay home. That's okay. That's a good time to stay home. God bless you. But because you got a hangnail, it's not a good reason to stay home, okay? Boy, I'm sorry. How did I get there? Philippians, I better move on. Philippians 2, verse number 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, this is serious business. This was written in the church. We know it's work sometimes to live for God. It takes effort. And we need to man up and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Luke 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, yet ye would not. You see that? Underline that for a reason. Jude didn't say that you could not, that you should not. No, Jesus said that you would not, because it is a matter of our will. You could have, but you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't take responsibility. You wouldn't own up. If you were drowning and someone threw you a life preserver that you refused to put it on, what good does it do you? Jesus has paid the price for your salvation. You may be floundering in sin and unhappiness and not being able to get out. Jesus has paid the price. But unless you latch on, unless you take ownership of what Jesus has done, it will not do you any good. I can offer you the keys to my car. Say, it's your car, take it. And unless you take ownership, unless you take the keys, it'll just sit in the parking lot and rust away to nothing. It's the same thing with the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We need to take ownership, man up, and do what God has called us to do. He's done everything. Jesus has done everything he can to save you. It's our responsibility to respond to it. We also have a responsibility for a successful life. And a huge part of that starts with prayer. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What happens to him that doesn't ask? He don't get. What happens to he that doesn't knock? Not opened. If you don't seek, you're not going to find this by accident. We have a responsibility to pray. We have a responsibility to seek the face of God. We're having a great revival. But there's more. And if we're going to attain everything that God has for us, and I want everything God has for me, don't you? And if we're going to attain everything God has for us, it's going to be because we grab a hold of it. because we seek it out. We knock on God's door. We keep knocking and knocking and knocking until God gets tired of it and just, here, have it. I take responsibility. Say it with me. I take responsibility. If I sin, I take responsibility. In fact, God's not interested in you or your prayers if you have sin in your life. Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You come down here to the front to worship and realize, you know what? You did your brother or your sister wrong. You might as well just shut your mouth, go over there and find them, and say, Matt, I'm sorry, man. I was a jerk. Will you forgive me? Then you come and you give your praise to God, and God will accept it. Hey, I don't make this stuff up. It's right there. Say with me again. If I sin, I take responsibility. But what if somebody sins against you? If I sin, if they sin, I take responsibility. Mark 11, verses 24 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That's heavy-duty stuff, isn't it? That's tough stuff. Let's be honest. Maybe you never had anybody run over you. If you've ever been run over, that's hard stuff right there. But it's good stuff. Jesus didn't say teach them a good lesson first. Jesus didn't even say wait until they ask for forgiveness. He said forgive them. Nothing like leading from the front of the pack. That's why if they were nailing Jesus to the cross, if they were laughing and mocking him, Jesus cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That kind of boggles my mind, if I want to be honest. I mean, they're in the midst of killing him. A gruesome and probably the most painful death man has ever devised. And somehow he has the courage to take responsibility for his own actions, say, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Man, I want to be like that. See, it's not only about their salvation, it's also about your salvation. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See that little as in there? Big door swinging on little hinges. That's a hinge right there. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Luke 6, verse 29, and unto him that smiteth thee in one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Stephen was being stoned, and he cried out, Lord, lay not the sin to their account. Man, I want to be like that. And let's be honest, some of us have been genuinely, seriously hurt. I'm not talking somebody forgot to mail you a Christmas card. I'm talking about someone seriously hurt you, took advantage of you, You know, Brother Grant touched on this the other night, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but while you're suffering, that loser that hurt you, he's just going on like nothing ever happened. So why are you suffering while he's getting off scot-free? You owe it to yourself to forgive them and to get on with life. Is that fair enough? You owe it to yourself. They probably long forgot about it, and they're just going on living happily ever after. Understand, their payday will come. They're not getting, God's not mocked. We don't pull anything over on him. But if you deserve better, forgive them. Get on with your life. Because God's got bigger and better things for you. My friends, it is time to turn the victims into victors. And we do that when we take responsibility. Let's say it together. If I sin, if they sin, I take responsibility. That's good, but we just live in a world full of sin, though. That's why I say we need to take a step further. If I sin, if they sin, if anybody sins, to keep... Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. If anybody sins... Well, gave away the rest of my message right there. I take responsibility. Jesus said, go and teach all nations. Well, I don't really have a burden for that. He didn't say, go get a burden. He said, go and teach. If God gives you a command, you don't need a burden. You need obedience. Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. And I sought for a man among them that should take up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore I have poured out mine own indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Can you believe that? And the entire nation, and the entire land, God looked for someone who would intercede. He looked for one person like Noah, one person like Abraham, one person like Moses who would stand in the gap. And he couldn't find one person who cared enough to pray. That's sad. What if God can find even one person who would stand in the gap today? What if God could find anybody who would build up a hedge of protection? You may not feel like it, but it's the right thing to do. So you do it. Greater love hath no man than this. The man lay his life down for his friend. We need to love our brothers. We need to take responsibility for our nation. We need to take responsibility for our cities, for our communities, for our schools. We need to stand up for what's right. Exodus 32, beginning at verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? You see what's going on here? This is right after Moses went up to get the law, the Ten Commandments. He's up on a mountain, and they hear this party going on. And God says, oh, get out of my way. I'm going to clean house. Moses goes down there and finds out that they had built a golden calf, and they're all having a big party. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, God had just brought them out of Egypt. They walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, wall of water on each side. God had been sustaining them. God had been providing for them. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to They're going to make a golden calf. They're going to worship it. And God says to Moses, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to start over with you. You're the man. But Moses says, God, don't do it. Verse 31, Moses returned unto the Lord. Moses went down, kicked some butt, went back up, returned unto the Lord and said, all ye people have sinned a great sin. Yeah, they're dumb. They have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now that's a love for people right there. These knotheads weren't getting it. If all that God had done for them, they just didn't want to follow God. And God says to Moses, and what an honor. Would you like to have God say to you, Sister Brown, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make a covenant with you. Brother Thunder, you're the one. You and me, you're going to be my man. And Moses says, no, kill me first. Forgive them, and if you won't forgive them, just kill me first. Oh, that God would have someone that would, well, it sounds bad, but stand up to God. You know, the funny thing is, God respected that. Remember when I was in the Army, I had a First Sergeant Jerry L. Pierce, and he was hardcore. I was with him. He's my First Sergeant at Fort Campbell, 101st Airborne Division. Then when I went to Germany, he followed me to Germany a couple months later. And this guy was tough. But he led by example. He's the one man I served with that I honestly said I could follow anywhere blindly. So I had that much confidence in who he was. He wouldn't ask you to do anything he wouldn't do himself. We had a new platoon sergeant came in. An 82nd Airborne Division patch on his shoulder. This was right after Lake Grenada. And First Sergeant also had called him in, and he was a ranking E7. And he comes in a unit. First Sergeant Pierce looks down, looks over his 201 file, sees he has a permanent disability, means he can't do PT. And some guys do that just because they're lazy. They try and get so they can just kind of coast the rest of their career. And First Sergeant Pierce says, you know what, you're not going to have a command position in my company. Because nobody on a permanent disability, nobody trying to skate through, nobody trying to get by is going to lead my men. And this guy stood up to him and said, listen, I didn't get this combat patch anywhere. And I didn't get my disability anywhere because 3/4 of my liver is laying somewhere in the ground in Vietnam. So if you're going to accuse me of just trying to skate by, you know, First Sergeant Parrish, he respected that. And he said, you know what? Anyone who will stand up to me for the good of my people, I respect that. And he became my platoon sergeant and a great leader. Because he had the courage to stand up. God respects people that will stand up. I'm not talking about being disrespectful. I'm not talking about losing your mind. But I'm talking about honestly praying before God and pleading a cause. People that will stand in the gap will make up a hedge. Say, God, this is my family. These are my kids. This is my marriage. This is my city. This is my school where my kids go. I'm not giving up until you do something, God. I'm not getting out of the way until it's done. Numbers chapter 16. Korah had led a great rebellion against the Lord. A lot of people got mad. There were some priests that were killed. And finally, the next day, there's a great rebellion. Everybody turned up. Everybody's rebelling against Moses. So apparently, Korah was some popular guy. And Korah and all his co-conspirators mean the earth opened up and swallowed them. And they were buried alive right there. God just burp. And they're gone. And you believe these knuckleheads got mad the next day? They come back to Moses. You would think, be like, you know what? I don't want to mess with that. But no, they have a big rebellion. They all show up the next day, and they're looking for Moses' head. All of a sudden, the power of God fell. Moses went up to see what God had to say. Same thing as before. Moses got out of the way. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to cut them down. I'm sick of dealing with them. Just get out of my way. And all of a sudden, there must have been a cry on one side, because over here, people started falling over dead. Moses turns to Aaron. They fell on their face. He says, get some incense, get some fire, and get out there. So Aaron grabs some incense, grabs some fire, which is, in the Old Testament, is a sign of prayer and worship. And Aaron gets out there, and he runs out in the middle. Would you get in the middle of that? And there's a plague, and people are just like dominoes falling over dead. And Aaron grabs some incense. He runs out in the middle. And the plague comes up, and people just dropping over dead to here. And they stop the plague. This takes guts to get in the middle of that. That takes courage to stand up to God like that. But God respected it. God heard their prayer. And I'm glad he did, because somewhere over on this side was a man by the name of Aram, who had a son by the name of Abinadab, who had a son by the name of Nahshon, who begat Salmon, who begat Boaz. And Boaz had a kid named Obed by some lady named Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat the king of David. And David begot Solomon and so on and so on. I won't take the time to read all of them. But eventually it gets down to some guy by the name of Joseph, who married some little chick named Mary and raised some guy named Jesus. And I don't know, but I'm so glad that somebody had the courage to run out and stop that thing. I'm so glad somebody... God could find at least one person to get in the middle and pray. Say, God, stop it. Please, God, stop it. Don't kill them all. I know they may deserve it, but God, don't kill them all. Stop it, I please. And God spared them. They didn't deserve it. But a few thousand years later, while I'm standing here full of the Spirit of Almighty God, that Jesus Christ purchased me, I'm so glad that Moses and Aaron had the courage to stand in the gap. Say it with me. If I sin, if they sin, if anybody sins, I take responsibility. Hallelujah. If I sin, if they sin, if anybody sins, to keep from sin, I take responsibility. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And I want my religion, if you want to call it that, to be pure. I want to stand before God and be pure. I've stood before God and not been very pure. That's not very fun, is it? But I want to stand before God and be pure. Have no regrets. Have nothing to be ashamed of. We need to let our light shine brightly in the world. First Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway. It's not just getting sin right, because once we get the sin issue right, it's staying away from it. Thank God for repentance, but let's just stay out of that mess altogether, shall we? 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard to live for God. It's hard to live for the world. It's hard to bear that weight, but the yoke of Jesus Christ is light. His burden is easy. We need to take responsibility. In fact, I read today, just a little blurb in the news, it was 1 year ago today that a young lady, the name of Meep Guys, passed away. Anybody ever hear of Meep Guys? Never heard of Meep Guys? Oh, I think you have. You just don't recognize the name. She passed away at 100 years of age. She, Meep Guys, was a young Dutch lady who, with the aid of her fellow workers, hid a family of Jews in the secret annex. They took in another family and another man. And to their great risk of life and limb, they sheltered them. They provided for them. In fact, I took a little time to look it up today and talk about what a challenge it was for Meep. Did all the grocery shopping for these 8 people hid up in the secret annex. I mean, somehow they were exposed. No one ever really found out how. The Gestapo came in and carted all of them off the concentration camps. Never gone. Meep went up, looking through there, and found that the one young girl, her diary's been cast all over the floor. So Meep picked them up, put them in a safe place in her desk, and kept them. Until after the war, the only one of those 8 people survived. When Otto Frank made his way back and found out that his daughter, Anne Frank, had been killed, along with his wife and his other daughter, Meep came and brought him his daughter's diary. You ever read the diary of Anne Frank? You should read it. But to have that kind of a love, that these people took responsibility. That they stood up to Nazi. You know, they stood up to Nazi oppression. Do you know what the risk was for hiding Jews? They would either take you out in the concentration camp, or they'd take you out to a wall and shoot you. But they loved these people enough that they took them in, they stood up, and they did what was right. Listen, there's a lot of things in this world that's wrong. And a lot of it we can't fix. But what we can fix, we need to fix. Say it with me. If I sin, if they sin, if anybody sins, and to keep from sin, I take responsibility. Hallelujah. If I sin, if they sin, if anybody sins, to keep from sin and to encourage, I take responsibility. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Exhort, not a word we use a whole lot anymore, means to encourage, to build each other up. It's our responsibility. And yes, you are your brother's keeper and your sister's keeper. We have a responsibility to look out for each other. We are the body of Christ. Does the body take care of itself? It all works together. I mean, if your feet wouldn't carry you to the refrigerator and your hands and arms wouldn't open it up and grab the Pop-Tarts, they wouldn't shove them in your mouth, and your teeth and your tongue and all that digestive process wouldn't chew them up and digest them, you wouldn't make it. That's why we need to encourage, take care of the body. If that person sitting next to you right now doesn't make it, if they're struggling, if they're having a hard time, it affects all of us. That's why we need to take responsibility. Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Friends, it's our responsibility to help new people. It's our responsibility to live a good example. And never list the bad things about the church. Let's be honest, there will always be bad things about the church. I mean, God couldn't keep all the angels saved in heaven. We're going to have some issues here. Just keep your mouth shut about it. They'll always be there. No, if the early church didn't have any issues, the Bible would just go from Acts to Revelation. But all that other stuff was written to fix problems in the church, to try and help us get it right. That's why it's there. So don't be surprised when we hit bumps in the road and people struggle. It happens. It's our job to encourage them. It's our job to come alongside. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, wrote Paul, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We've got a high calling. You understand that? We've got a high calling. It's not something to be ashamed of. This is a high calling. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've got a great thing. We want to make sure we handle it with humility. That we come along, that we prefer our brothers and sisters, that we help them out, that we encourage them. We that are stronger ought to come alongside the weak and pick them up. And what kind of an army would survive if one of their members got wounded, that they left them? That they shot him, that they tried to pick him off. We're the army of God. We've got a great thing going. We need to care for our wounded. Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To get all that, we need to keep the unity of the Spirit until we all come to the unity of the faith. We have some differences. We have some different ideas sometimes. But we need to keep the unity of the Spirit until we're all made perfect. Let me go a step further. I love the nation that I live in. I am proud to be an American. Let's be honest. We have some problems. I have no other place that I'd rather live, but we have some issues. And I'm sorry to mess with your ideology, but we have problems that cannot be fixed by an election. We have problems that are spiritual problems. We got stuff going on. It will only be fixed by a Holy Ghost revival. It will only be fixed when God moves in the hearts of men and women and changes them from the inside out. We need a dynamic Holy Ghost revival to sweep our city, to sweep our nation. And God's not going to get any better. God's as good as he's going to get. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to get any stronger. So one thing that's going to change is going to be right here. We're going to have to make it happen. We're going to have to pray it through. We need to be a part of the solution instead of being a part of the problem. It's one or the other. Doing nothing makes you part of the problem. If you would stand, the musicians would come. August 19th, 1995, I believe it was, a young 33-year-old lady sideswiped a car. The man chased her down. The witnesses say that he retaliated by savagely beating her. Tore her clothes off. Viciously beat her head against her car. We're talking about a man who was 6'4", 270 pounds, against a lady who was 4'11 inches. While a group of 40 people stood around on a bridge in Detroit, Michigan, and watched. Yeah, she jumped. Some reports say that some of the people even cheered. Not one person stood up for Delitha Ward. She was forced to jump for her life to get away, because no one would take responsibility. Finally, two men arrived late, two construction workers. He's one of them was. They jumped in the river to try and save her. She apparently was afraid that that was her attacker coming after her again. She tried to get away instead of letting them rescue her, because she was so scarred. She was so scared by that time. And a few days later, her body washed up downstream. See, if you do nothing, if you just coast, If you're nothing more than just an observer, doesn't that make you part of the problem? Say it with me. If I sin, if they sin, if anybody sins, to keep from sin and to encourage, I take responsibility. Do you know what you're taking responsibility for? Hey, that person, that guy with the crazy hairdo sitting on the pew next to you Sunday night, might be your son-in-law in a few years. That girl who just came in who doesn't have it all together, she might be your daughter-in-law in a few years. That person sitting next to you, they may be the next Will Carls. They may be the next Mark Tchaikovsky. They may be the next Nikki Mikulski. They may be the next Christina Vega. Young people that come in, that get it, and change their world. Did I forget Noah Strand? He's kind of staying in the back there. You got to understand, we don't know who God's bringing in. It's our responsibility to make sure they make it. It's our responsibility to get alongside them, to encourage them, to help them get this, and to loose them, to encourage them to make a difference. They're counting on us. And God's counting on us.